Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, your worries can be washed away.
Now, when we worry, we say to God, you say that you're going to take care of me, but I don't believe it. Your promises are hollow. Lord, I don't think you're able. That's what worry says to God. God, you're not able. Or God, you don't care. How do you think that feels to God, the King of the universe, who owns everything, who can do anything? Who loves us with an everlasting love? When we worry and we say to God through our worry, evidently things have gotten beyond your control, Lord, because you're not able to take care of me.
I suppose that each generation since the time of Adam has thought that it has more stress to deal with than the previous generation. And the very human way of dealing with stress is worry. And that hasn't changed either. On the surface, worrying doesn't seem so harmful, but in reality, it's an insult to our Heavenly Father who loves us so very much. It can cause damage to us both physically and emotionally and spiritually. As the Bible makes so clear, it's just plain sin. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and every day we come to you and open God's Word to share from His heart. Today's message is the last broadcast from Pastor Jeff's series, A New Lease on Life, as we close out the month. I'll tell you more about how you can get this wonderful series in just a moment. But right now, if you have your Bible handy, we'll be starting in a moment looking at the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. Here now is Pastor Jeff to conclude a timeless message entitled, No Worries.
I want us to look today as we study the subject of worry and anxiety. Look at two simple questions. Question number one, why is it so wrong to worry? Let me give you three reasons why worry is so wrong and why it's so wrong to worry. Reason number one, worry is harmful. You know, when God created you and me, He did not create us to be creatures that can handle worry. The word worry that's used, translated anxiety, translated worry, verse 22 says, do not be anxious for your life. Don't worry about your life. That word in the Greek literally means to divide the mind, to tear apart. And that's what worry does. It divides the mind and it tears apart. And that's what happens to you and me when we're anxious and when we worry. Worry is harmful. But not only is worry harmful, reason number two, why should you not worry? Because it's harmful, because it's wasteful. I mean, what good is worry? That's what Jesus was saying. What does it accomplish when you and I worry? It just makes things worse. It is totally useless. It's a waste of time. Worry is harmful. Worry is wasteful. Worry is sinful. Oh, it might not be the best thing for me to do, but Jeff, is it really sinful? Well, yeah, I mean, when Jesus said, don't worry, don't be anxious, and when he says in verse 29, do not keep worrying, that's not a suggestion. That's a command. Don't do this. You know what worry really is? It's practical atheism. Worry is practical atheism. It says, God, you evidently don't make a difference here. God, you evidently don't exist in my need. Practical atheism. It's a wound in the heart of God when we worry. See, worry is the opposite of faith. Jesus said in verse 28, O men of little faith, if I take care of the ravens, I'll take care of you. If Solomon in all his glory couldn't array himself like I array the flowers of the field that are here today and gone tomorrow, you throw them in the furnace the next day. If I just do that with the field, how much more will I take care of you? See, it's the argument from lesser to greater. Oh, men of little faith, worry is the opposite of faith. George Mueller was a great man of faith, and he said, where worry starts, faith ends. Because you can't have faith toward God and worry at the same time. Because worry means you're not trusting God. You're not trusting God. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says this, whatever is not from faith is sin. Why is it so wrong to worry? Because it's harmful, because it's wasteful, because it's sinful. Hopefully you're tracking with me and you say, okay, I see where worry is a bad thing. And Jeff, if I'm honest, worry has been eating my lunch and I do feel my stomach tied up in knots and I have had physical problems associated with my worry. But question two, how can we stop doing it? How can we stop doing it? How can you get a new lease on life with regard to worry so that you leave this place today and you say, no worries? Man, there has been a burden lifted off of me because I'm not worried anymore. Well, the three actions to take so that you can leave this place free of worry. Action number one, believe the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Believe the truth. See, when you worry, you believe lies, and that's why life gets distorted, and that's why your understanding of God gets distorted. Believe the truth. What's the truth? God really does love you. He really does. He really cares for you. What goes on in your life really matters to God. The difficulties you're facing today, that really matters to God. All those problems, all those difficulties, He cares about those. He really does love you. And you're much more valuable to God than many birds, than many ravens, than many sparrows. And if He provides for the ravens, He'll provide for you. God really does love you. I love what the scripture says. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, talking about our value to God. See, value is determined by what someone will pay for a particular thing or item. I sold a car some years ago. I thought it was worth $16,000. I put it on the market. Thought I was going to get 16. Didn't get 16. I said, it's worth 16. Somebody paid 14. Wow. I said, you're ripping me off. He said, well, how many other offers do you have? I said, all right, I'll take 14. I mean, that's all it was worth. It's only worth what someone will pay. What did God pay for you and me? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. God paid for you with His own blood. That's how valuable you are to God. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He cares for you. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 that you're to cast, and I'm to cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. So that's the truth. God really does know about my situation. He really does care about my situation. And He really will provide for me. And He really will provide for you. God is a providing God. He told us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And God provides the daily bread. When the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, wandering around for 40 years, nothing to eat, out in the desert, in the rocks and in the sand, what did God do? He provided for them. Every day He provided manna. He just rained it down, manna. Bible says men did eat the bread of angels. And they would go out every day to gather the manna. And God brought it every day. And you know what's interesting about the manna? You couldn't store the manna. If you tried to store the manna, if you gathered manna on Tuesday and say, I'm going to get some extra so I can have some, I won't have to go out Wednesday and get any manna, I'll just eat Tuesday's manna, it would grow foul and breed worms. You had to get it every morning. God's a daily provider. The only time that didn't work was on the Sabbath, where the Lord provided double portion the day before because He didn't want them working on the Sabbath. But every other day, it was an everyday thing. You had to go get manna every day. What does that teach you? And teach me, God's a daily provider. What does worry do to us? How does that come into our lives? What do we do when we worry? We think about tomorrow. And we worry down the road and we say, Lord, but I have this situation coming up tomorrow. And Lord, I'm so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And God, I need grace to help me with this problem that I'm facing tomorrow. Where's the grace? The Lord says, hey, I've told you that you can find, you come to me and you find grace to help in time of need. And you're living in today, and tomorrow may never come. And I don't have grace today for tomorrow's problems. Each day, Jesus said, has enough trouble of its own. The problem that you and I have, as someone has well said, we live our lives, so many of us, crucified between two thieves. The regrets of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. And we don't ever enjoy today. And see, God says, I have grace to help today. I have grace to help when you need it. Jesus said in this same chapter, he said, hey guys, told his disciples, there's coming a day where people are going to deliver you to the authorities. And he says in verse 11, and when they bring you before the authorities of the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not become anxious about how or what you should speak in your defense or what you should say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Oh, don't get nervous about what's coming tomorrow, because God will give it to you when you need it. And that's how God provides. He's a daily provider. He has grace to help in time of need. Whatever you're facing tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, there is no grace today for that. Tomorrow may never come. Live in today. I still remember when my daughter Amy was in third grade, and I would take them to school in the mornings. The school was very close to our house, and I would drive the kids to school. And at that time, Thursday was my day off, and it was a Thursday, and I took them to school, and Debbie was working, and she was away, and so I was at home. And as soon as I got home from taking them to school, Amy called. She said, Dad, I forgot my lunch. Dad, will you bring me my lunch? I forgot my lunch. I left it on the kitchen table. I said, yeah, I'll bring you your lunch. Well, I knew her lunch period started at 12, so I did some other things. And, you know, I mean, she called me probably at 9 o'clock. I did this, did that, did the other. Well, it's about 5 minutes till 11. I said, oh, I got to bring Amy your lunch. So I got the lunch, put it in my car, drove there, got there just a few minutes before 12. I came into the lunchroom. It was empty because they didn't let out till 12. Well, finally they let out. I'd been sitting there for a couple of minutes. They let out, and here's the teacher leading the third graders in there, and I see Amy, and she's looking at me, and she's all upset at me. I said, what's the matter? She came up to me, and she goes, Dad, I called you hours ago and asked you to bring me my lunch. And she said, and I've been waiting and waiting for you to bring me my lunch, and you hadn't been bringing me my lunch, and I was just so worried about that. And I said, well, when's lunchtime? She said, noon. I said, what time is it? She said, noon. I said, here's your lunch. I mean, you didn't need it at 9 o'clock. You didn't need it at 10 o'clock. You needed it at noon, and that's when I brought it. And so you spent hours worrying that Dad wasn't going to bring your lunch, because Dad sometimes forgets, but your Heavenly Father never forgets. She knew that. But see, that's the way we are with God. We get so worried about things, and God says, you don't need that right now. I will provide at the right time for you. That's the truth. And my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Believe the truth. That's the first action if you want to stop worrying. Number two, action number two, make the Lord your number one priority. See, he says in verse 31, but seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Hey, the nations of the world, those that don't know God, they're living out practical atheism. They're worried and bothered about what we shall eat and what we shall drink and what we shall clothe ourselves with. The Lord says, you're not like that. You're not to be like that. You seek me, and I'll provide for you. We're more familiar with the passage in Matthew that says virtually the same thing, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek him first. When you wake up in the morning, seek the Lord. Read his word first. Spend time, carve out time for God in the morning. And see, when you read his word, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It builds your faith. What did Jesus say about worry? Oh, men of little faith. If you want to build your faith, read the word of God. Seek him as you read his word, and then pray. Those two things are so critical. See, when we read the word, God speaks to us. And when we pray, we speak to God. And Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Bobby McFerrin says, don't worry, be happy. That's not what God says. God says, don't worry, pray. Pray. Take that worry that you're carrying in your heart and give it to me. Cast that on me. Pray, and I'll bring peace to you if you'll do that. You know, worry can be like a little prayer alarm. You and I can use that as a benefit. And anytime you feel your heart getting anxious, you just know, hey, I need to pray about this. I need to cast that care upon the Lord. I have evidently grabbed that care back from the Lord. I need to cast it on him. And when you cast your care on the Lord, he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Make the Lord your number one priority. Believe the truth. And thirdly, transfer all ownership to God. All ownership of everything in your life, transfer it to him. Look at verses 32 and following. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. God is a good God. He's going to provide for his sons and daughters. He's chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And then he says in verse 33, sell your possessions. I want to underline possessions. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I find it very interesting that when Jesus is talking about worry, he mentions possessions. Because, see, that's what we worry about, our possessions. Things that belong to us. We worry about our stuff. Wayne McDill is a friend of mine, professor at Southeastern Seminary. He's written a great book called The Message in Your Emotions, and he talks about the emotion called worry and anxiety and fear. And he says, you know what worry really is the anticipated loss of something we value and treasure and own. The anticipated sense of loss. Somebody's going to do something to my child. Somebody's going to hurt my spouse. Somebody's going to do something with my money. Somebody's going to hurt my car. Somebody's going to take my boat. It's all related to possessions, to things that you think are yours. And we worry about stuff that is ours. We don't worry about other people's stuff. We worry about our stuff.
Pastor Jeff returns in a moment with a personal example of how God desires to lift loads off of us when we give things over to him. Pastor Jeff's message today is entitled, No Worries, and it was edited because of our time restraints, but the full message, part one and part two, is available on an individual CD or DVD, but it's also part of an 8-message series entitled, A New Lease on Life. You can also get that in the format of a USB flash drive, and an MP3 download. If you're tired of the same old you and you'd like to see some great and awesome changes take place in your life, then let God show you from his word how you can have that new lease on life. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Now, when you do, we hope that you'll consider making a special generous gift to From His Heart this month. And as we've been telling you all month long, we exist to tell the world about the love of God and the love he has for you and for everyone, and how he wants you to understand the depth of that love and love others the way he loves us. And to help you do that, our special gift of thanks this month is Pastor Jeff's series, The Greatest of These is Love. 5 messages that will bless your life. That's a promise. And we know your gift will allow us to bless others with a greater ability to expand these programs to parts of the world we're not currently heard. The series is yours on USB, CD, DVD, or on MP3 download. You can make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. And for the last time this month, request it by name, The Greatest of These is Love. Now, let's conclude the lesson, No Worries. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
When I was a salesman, I had a 50-story building downtown Houston that I was part of my accounts to take care of. And I remember the chief engineer that I had to deal with at this building was a psycho. He was just so weird. I saw him one day combing his hair, and I saw on the part 666. I swear, he's just a bad guy, and I had to deal with this guy, and all the time he was threatening to kick us out. I think I'm going to go with another company. He's always threatening to kick me out. No matter what you did for the guy, it was never enough. I remember one day my boss came to me and said, Jeff, I know you're having trouble with this building. I said, yeah, I sure am. This guy Bob, yeah, he's driving me nuts. You know, he's the son of the Antichrist. And so he said, how about I take that account from you? He said, I'll service that account. I'll deal with Bob. You don't have to mess with that anymore. You're out from under it. Just give it to me, your boss. Wow. I said, really? He said, yeah. So I gave it to him. Here's the file. Here's everything. And man, it was like being let out of jail. I didn't have to mess with this guy anymore. I didn't have to go to that building anymore. I didn't own that anymore. I gave it to my boss. You and I need to do that with everything in life. God says, would you cast it on me? Would you give it to me? Boy, you're trying so hard and you're dealing with things and you're just stressed and worried and bothered. Give it to me. J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary in China, said this, let us give up our work, our plans, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our rights into the hand of God. And then when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. You give it all to the Lord. Hey, are you worried today? You bothered? You anxious? You troubled? Are you being torn apart inside? The Lord says, my child, I love you. My child, I have grace to help you. I will provide for you. And all I ask you to do is trust me.
Unless you first trusted in Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can't fully win in the war against worry. And you've left undone the most important decision of your life. Jesus invites you today to receive life from Him. And if you'd like to do that right now, pray something like this from the bottom of your heart. Father in heaven, you sent Jesus to die for me, and right now I receive that gift you're offering me in Christ. I come to you in repentance and faith. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for all my sin, and that God raised you from death to life. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into my heart, forgiving my sin, and saving me. In your holy name I pray, amen. If you prayed a prayer like that, you're now a child of God. That's a promise from God, and nothing can snatch you away from Him. We encourage you to find a Christ-honoring church in your area. That's really important. And tell them that you became a Christian. And be sure to visit us online at fromhisheart.org. Click the Why Jesus link to find some helps for your new journey. Well, that's all our time for today. We trust that you'll join Pastor Jeff tomorrow as we begin a brand new month of programs designed to help you overcome the giants in your life that are keeping you from being all that God wants you to be. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here on Tuesday as we venture into the land of the giants and learn to stop seeing those giants as supersized. That's next time here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about it. Go to FromHisHeart.org.